This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock of the Money Podcast, episode 161. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonmoney, and of course, our website, Amanda, rockonmoney.com, of course. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Weather's, you know, daylight savings time is like coming up already.
Oh, great. Yeah, I like light.
I hate daylight savings time. Taxes and springtime, everything's coming up.
Yeah. Tax time for sure.
I have nothing to say about taxes this year. Oh, I'm destroyed. I have nothing to say. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. There's not a tax professional on this planet that can correct whatever I got going on. So,
oh boy.
But no, I mean, for this next year, at least now I know how to estimate my taxes. I think that's the thing. There's so many people out there working side gigs and stuff like that, and it's very difficult. I even messaged you about this. It is difficult to estimate your taxes. You're supposed to pay quarterly because it's a target. You don't know what to do until you've done 1 year's worth.
Yeah.
And if it keeps getting better, well, you have to keep increasing it. So I'm playing video games on Facebook. I didn't know what to estimate it. Yeah. Well, I was way off.
It's so much easier when you just a W-2 employee and you just have a percentage withheld. You know, that's so much more straightforward. When you're off doing your own thing or you add in gigs on top of your W-2, you do have to make sure you're making adjustments because, you know, your employer doesn't know you have these side gigs. So they're not going to adjust.
Yeah.
Based on that.
So,
the other thing is if you have a disparity between two earners, you know, maybe one person's salary is much higher than the other, the employer is only really going to go off of your own salary.
Right.
Yeah. So if you have a really low salary, you might be not withholding enough because you need to take in consideration your entire household income, not just yours.
There you go.
Yeah. So lots of things come into play. And that's why tax time is always a stressful time for everyone. You never know if you're going to get a refund or how much it'll be or if you owe or how much the owing will be.
Well, we have a question come up on the next episode, a teaser for the next one, where someone's getting over $20,000 back as a refund. They're excited.
Okay.
So your head's probably already hurting from that question. It's question number one coming up next episode.
Next week.
Yeah. But on this episode, I thought this would be a great time. We have so many brand new listeners right now.
That's awesome. Welcome.
I mean, we have exploded. This podcast has exploded. Primarily because of Facebook. We will give them that credit. I thought we'd go over the baby steps because a lot of these questions we get in, Amanda, are based, we apply them to the baby steps as much as we can.
Yes.
Along with other basic financial literacy information. We don't have a system. We don't do any of these crazy, we do the boring stuff, which a lot of people don't want to do because how's that work?
Yeah, people like get rich quick schemes.
Yeah. How's that Bitcoin working out, by the way? it's tanking.
You tell me. I don't have any.
Oh, it's tanking. All of it's tanking. All of it's tanking. Yeah. And now there's calls for people are dumping. They're getting out. So, but that's as of recording it. Yeah. No one talks about it.
You see a commercial on TV where it's like this guy who's like, I'm a millionaire. And he packs up his desk and then he's like, oh, I'm not a millionaire anymore. And then he's like, I'm a millionaire.
Was it a crypto ad or something like that?
It's a commercial, I think, for like a tax preparer, but it's about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. It's like,
well, you brought this up a podcast ago. Like, nobody's talking about crypto anymore.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
There's a reason why, because it's
going
down.
Radio silence.
I'm not saying people shouldn't do it. I'm just saying people only talk about it when it's skyrocketing, but nobody talks about the other part when it's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right now it's not doing well at all. Anyway, let's go over the baby steps. So Amanda, let's talk about why would we want to get out of debt? I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. Why do you want to get out of debt? Why do you want to change your life? Why do you want to keep this? Why do you want to live to work instead of work to live type of thing? Let's talk about that because there's five things before you do the baby steps. The baby steps are so you can get out of this debt cycle. You're in this corporate mind way of thinking it's normal when it's not. of staying in debt. You're just working every month. You're arguing over bills. Why do we want to do this, Amanda? So let's talk about the five reasons why we want to do all this. Number one, budgeting. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So budgeting is really important. Yeah. We, and I have since I think 2012, I do a monthly budget every single month, a zero based budget where every single dollar is assigned a job or a purpose. You know, and I know where all the money's going to go when it comes in. So when we get paid, it's super easy. It doesn't take me hardly any time at all to like pay our bills, shift money over to a savings account or to investments, and then done until the end of the month, you know?
Right.
So budgeting is really important for that, because if you don't give your money a job, then it's, and it's just sitting in your account, then you're more than likely going to just spend it on whatever it is. Cause you'll look at your bank account. I know so many people who, they go out on a Friday night and they're like, oh, I'm just going to hit the ATM because I have money in my account. I just got paid. Well, that's not really the plan, right?
I used to do that when I was young and stupid.
I think all of us did at one point.
18, 19 years old, I hit the ATM all the time.
Yeah. You're like, well, when do I get paid? I can't go out until I get paid. And you're like, that's not really how that should work. You should be able to go out when you plan to go out because you've budgeted for it. Not that you go out because you have money in your account and all of a sudden after you've had a night out of drinking, you can't pay your rent, you know?
How about these casinos, especially out in Vegas? Have you seen this where they promote Fridays where you bring, they'll cash your paycheck for you?
Oh, so predatory.
Yeah. Now they do that. And
I mean, when you're budgeting, you just cut out as much fluff or extras as possible when you're, you know, working on getting out of debt. So you would be cutting out your eating out. You would definitely not be taking on any more loans or debt or, you know, credit, using credit cards. And you'd focus on home entertainment to help, you know, slim down your budget.
Right.
The biggest thing to understand when you get into just financial planning for yourself in general is understanding your why. Why are you, what's motivating you to take control of your money situation? So Craig kind of mentioned, you know, do you enjoy having an argument with your loved one about money all the time?
What's the number one cause of divorce?
It's money. Yeah.
It's money. Is everybody tired of why do you want to keep like barely making it every month? Because there's no end to it. Like you want to keep doing that?
And people are like, oh, I thought cheating would be a number one reason for divorce. Well, there's also this concept of financial infidelity where people are spending money but not telling their spouse about it, or they're hiding money related things, you know. That also. So money, lies about money, all those things.
Yeah.
Not good for your relationship.
Yeah.
But there are many other whys, you know. So Craig, what keeps you motivated?
Remembering where I used to be about having all the debt and barely making it, or even not even like prior to, well, I can only pay these bills this month. I can't even pay that one. I mean, I did all that when I was younger. Yeah. Like I would get, I'm like, oh, I got a credit card. I'm young. I got a credit card now and use it. And then you don't realize how many times you use it till the end of the month. Like, oh, that's impossible. I don't owe that much money. You don't even realize what you did.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, you just get tired of it. I mean,
it's the same thing like when you are starting a new health diet, right? You have to have a why. Otherwise, you're not going to stick with it and not going to stay motivated. So here you need a why to keep you motivated and keep the goal in your forefront. So, you know, do you have a big goal? Like, I want to go to Antarctica someday, even though I'm always freezing and want to be warmer.
You're from Florida. You want to go to Antarctica?
I'd like to go to Antarctica one day and like step on the ice, you know, and not do it like in a giant cruise, but in like one of those smaller expeditions that are super expensive. Yeah.
See like real penguins and polar bears. And
well, polar bears are in the
Arctic. In the Arctic. Yeah, I know. I just realized what I just said. Yeah. They don't live there. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Trust me, I know all sorts of things thanks to Sir David Attenborough.
There you go.
All right. So in addition, you want to create a support system. So make sure you and your loved ones are on the same page. So you're encouraging each other. Using visuals, that's a big one. And that works for diets as well. Like if you want to lose weight, you put a picture of fat you on the fridge and then, you know.
Yeah.
Or some people are more positive. They put a picture of like a skinny body. Like that's my goal, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, a visual like dream board. I was telling someone this story the other day of, you know, 1 year I had a take home income of like less than $6,000. So just imagine that. And then I made a dream board and said, well, you know what? Next year I'd like to get a BMW. And think about the impossibility of that thought process, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know how, but somehow I'm going to make this happen. And you know what? It wasn't a year, but it was 15 months. So a year and 3 months later, I had my BMW. And it's because the visual was there constantly to keep focus, right?
Right.
And then, you know, finally just making the commitment to change your life. All that leads up to the commitment to change. So, Craig, take it away. What's baby step number one?
Baby step one. All right, there's seven baby steps. These are all done in order. We'll get to the ones that are done simultaneously. But baby step one is to save your $1,000 initial emergency fund.
But Craig, that doesn't seem like enough for an emergency.
No, it's not. But as we get into baby step two, which is paying off debt, you need to have some money put aside, not invested. It's in savings. You don't touch it. Leave it alone. And this is to take care of any emergencies or things that come up that you'll need that to keep yourself going further into debt. Dave Ramsey and company came up with this $1,000 emergency fund to get you through baby step two, so we don't pile on even more debt. So
yeah,
this
and really, it's because the majority of Americans do not have money to cover a $500 surprise. Like, you know,
it's like 70% of Americans. It's bad.
A very high percentage. So, you know, all of a sudden your car needs a surprise repair. Are you able to handle that without having to take out more credit? That's what the $1,000 is intended to cover, is those types of things that come up. Or, you know, you need a surprise AC repair at your house, or HVAC repair or something like that. Household repairs, things like that, that you know, most of them aren't going to be more than $1,000. Certainly there are exceptions, but the majority of these everyday emergencies are, you know, $500 to $1,000. So that's what that's intended to do, so that you're not continuing to add to your debt load while you're trying to pay debt off.
And just as a reminder, as we go into baby step two, if at any point you actually have to use this emergency fund, you now go back to baby step one and then bring it back to $1,000 before you can go back to the next step. So yeah, you actually can go backwards because something happened. Now I got to fix this. Yeah. And then you got to bring it back to $1,000. Then you go back forward again into baby step two. But that's what baby step one is.
All right. So then baby step two is
pay off all of your debt. All of your debt except your home mortgage. And
your
residence mortgage. Right. So here's what people will commonly send us, Amanda. They'll say, hey, I'm debt free except my car loan.
Or my student loan.
No, you're not debt free. Stop saying you're debt free. You are not debt free. You still have things, but they'll throw an except in there. Face the fact that you're still in debt. You are not debt free. Stop saying that. Debt is debt. Debt free is debt free. So we do this using the snowball method, Amanda.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times that we do these podcasts, we talk about paying off our debt in baby step two, but we don't say, well, how do I do that? And there is a process for doing that, Amanda. Do you remember what that is?
Yeah. So you're going to make a list of all of your debts and you're going to sort them out in order of what is the smallest total balance that you have to pay off, all the way up to the largest balance. And you'll start making extra payments on your smallest balance. And then once that's paid off, you'll take that whole amount that you were paying on that smaller debt and roll it into the next smallest one, so that, you know, you're building a bigger snowball that you can make larger and larger payments on each and every additional debt.
So by doing the small balances first, as opposed to putting the biggest one, which I think for a lot of people will be either a vehicle or it will be their student loan. By having the smallest amounts first, that's that motivation, because we're paying off small ones and we feel like we're getting somewhere.
You see success sooner, you build momentum. It's very psychological that there's research behind it, that if you take this, because I know a lot of people argue, well, I want to pay off the one with the highest interest rate first.
Right.
That's an approach, but And certainly you can get there, but most people don't stick with it because they aren't seeing enough progress and aren't seeing enough wins. So psychologically, the snowball method wins more times than any other method because of the psychological impact.
There you go. It would be the same as if I go to the gym, Amanda.
Yeah.
And because, you know, people start working out, don't they typically lose like 5 pounds right off the bat because they just started doing something?
Yeah.
And then what happens? You plateau. And then you got to change your workout or something like that. So this is just a way to keep you motivated. And then you see, okay, we got this down. And you can put it on the refrigerator or whatever. But as you go down, then you take that payment and we roll it now into the next one. So we're actually, the snowball gets bigger and bigger that's able to attack each of these big balances. So by the time you get down to the big boat, which you probably shouldn't have had in the first place, the car or the student loan, we're now attacking it with a massive attack weapon of all those previous balance payments are now going after that big sucker at the very end. And now you're really motivated. Faster. Oh yeah. It will disappear a lot faster. There you go.
That's baby step three, saving 3 to 6 months of expenses in a fully funded emergency fund. So remember we had a little baby emergency fund in step one, that was $1,000. Once you get all of your debt paid off, except for your home mortgage, then you fully fund an emergency fund.
There you go.
To take care of any like unexpected job loss, you know, or loss of income. So that's 3 to 6 months of your expenses, not your income. So that's why we talked earlier about the importance of budgeting. You need to know what your monthly expenses are in order to know like what's the appropriate amount to have in an emergency fund. And the 3 to 6 months, people are like, well, what should it be? 3 or 6? It could be anywhere 3 to 6 because it depends on your appetite for risk. It depends on what type of industry you're in. So if you were to lose your job, how quickly on average would it take to replace your job? If you're in something that's highly specialized, it might take longer. If you're, you know, something in an area that there's tons of those types of jobs out there, then, you know, 3 months might be enough. If you have, you know, 5 mouths to feed versus 2 mouths to feed, there's a much higher risk. So it's really a personal decision there, but 3 to 6 months is the recommendation.
There you go.
Oh, Craig, there's like a secret baby step here hidden in three. You want to talk about that?
We don't really talk about this one very often, but even on the Dave Ramsey website, they still talk about this unofficial. It's got to be official if it's on the website, right? I mean, they call it the unofficial or the secret baby step. There's no secret to it, but it's called it baby step 3B. So what that is once you do the $1,000 emergency fund, then you pay off all of your debt that you have except for your primary home mortgage, and then you save your 3 to 6 months of expenses, you're like, by that point, you're probably like feeling pretty badass at that point, don't you think? And you're like, what is the one dream that you probably have always had that now that I've cleaned up my credit report, I've gotten rid of all this debt, I have an emergency fund now, a lot of people probably want a house.
Yeah, so obviously, if you don't already have a mortgage, then you may want to have a mortgage.
Right.
So that's what this step is. So you can either simultaneously while you're creating your fully funded emergency fund or immediately after you have a fully funded emergency fund, save money for a down payment on a new home before you start moving into retirement investing.
There you go. And that's almost kind of like reward because your credit report probably looks pretty amazing by this point. You're probably now creeping out of the 500s, 600s. You're probably in the 700s, feeling pretty good about yourself. If you wait, you know, about 6 more months after paying off everything and everything, you're probably getting the 800s pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
It takes a while to creep, get all that stuff to clear off your report. But yeah, buying a house at that point, yeah, and then have that down payment. And then we're up to baby step 4, 5, and 6, which are all done at the same time, simultaneously.
They're a clump of baby steps.
Yeah, so baby step 4, Amanda.
Yeah, that's where you're going to invest 15% of your household income into retirement plans or savings for retirement. So that could be a combination of 401k, IRAs, 403bs, 457s, whatever it is that your employer offers. Or if you don't have an employer, then obviously you go the IRA route. But work with your tax preparer on that. But if you have employer-sponsored plans, then that would be your first step there. And we always remind people, 15% is your household income.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're doing 15% of your income and your spouse is doing 15% of their income, then that's 15% of the household. It's not like you do 8% and the other person does 7%. That doesn't, percentages don't work like that.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah.
Basic math. And then also you don't want to be including any company match in that 15%. Because 15% of your household income is what you are putting away. If there's a match, great. That's counted as extra icing on the cake. We don't include that in the percentage calculation.
There you go. And we do have a lot of airline workers that listen to this, and they have a very high percentage. A lot of them, when I talk to them, were including it in that. And no, that's gravy because it can always be removed. Just consider it a bonus. That means you're just doing that much better.
Yeah.
It's like 9.3%. It's pretty high.
Baby step five is saving for your child's college fund. You know, you can do that in a 529 plan. Baby step six is paying off your home early so that you no longer have that mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So four, five, and six, you can do in parallel. The investing for retirement, saving for your child's college fund, paying off your mortgage. I like the way that they're ordered. I wouldn't save for your child's college fund before you save for your own retirement. You know, this is where I always say, like when you're flying in an airplane, you got to take care of putting your own oxygen mask on first before you put on someone else's.
Yeah. Most kids don't need to go to college, number one. And I don't want to put my retirement secondary to worrying about Johnny going to college.
Yeah, because Johnny's not going to want to have to take care of you financially when you're 70 because you don't have a retirement plan.
Yeah, they're not going to come rescue you. As much as you think they are, they won't. They're going to be taking care of their own little family. So you need to take care of you.
Yeah.
Take care of you.
So four, five, and six, you can do simultaneously. And then you get to the top of the mountain. You're at baby step seven, and that's where you have the opportunity to continue to build wealth and give. So you live like no one else then.
Yeah. And all those payments and things that you did, your mortgage, all that's gone. You have nothing but income. The only thing you're paying at this point is your food, electricity, water, basic essentials. And you got all this extra money. So then you go back to baby step four and you increase that 15% a lot higher. You just max it, make sure all your accounts are maxed out, your 401ks, your IRAs, all those things, max them out. And then if you still have money after that, then you start investing in real estate, individual stocks, ETFs. If you want to do crypto, you do.
And you start having some fun.
Yeah. And reward yourself.
Like go to Antarctica.
Yeah. As long as your retirement is being funded and you're rocking it, go to Antarctica. And
or go to the Arctic where the polar bears are.
Well, whatever's left of them.
Yeah.
Don't depress me. I'm sad about that. But there you go. And that is the baby steps. And baby step seven is where you want to be. And those people are the happiest people on the planet because they have no worries. No matter what happens, wars, everything, it doesn't affect them. It doesn't. Nobody owns them. Nobody owns them. They have the house. They have everything. And they have stability. Even if the stock market goes down, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. And we won't talk about the stock market.
Nope.
As of March 2022, it's one of those downturns. They happen. It happens. So that is the baby steps. I think that was a great review. A great review. And we may even post this, clip out all of our commentary in the beginning and just post as a reference podcast on Facebook and other places that they can all go listen. Because that was a great review. You did a great job. Thank you for filling in after I finished yelling on video games all morning for the last 5 hours. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.